And welcome to another episode of General Nerd Sense, the podcast from Shieldwall Productions, where we talk about anything and anything generally nerdy, hence the name. And that's how I'm going to introduce this podcast pretty much forever, so get used to it, dear listeners. And on this episode, we have myself, John.
And Jacob.
And the topic for this episode is how to mitigate metagaming and min-maxing.
Yeah.
I did it.
You did it.
First take. I didn't practice. I practiced. Yes, what is metagaming and min-maxing, Jacob?
Well, metagaming and min-maxing, they're kind of different things, but they relate to each other. So, metagaming is when a player character acts on something his actual in-game character wouldn't know.
Yes.
Min-maxing is the art of taking the rules of a game set and using them to your advantage. So, for example, like making a glass cannon that can literally one-shot anything you throw at it because...
But a strong breeze, and they best be good, nice and dexterous, because they'll need that to be able to bend over and kiss their ass goodbye.
Yeah. So, as a DM, you often find yourself with players who either metagame or min-max or both, and you kind of feel, at times, a little bit powerless because... It's hard to fight a player's stubbornness.
Right. They kind of forget that we're all playing this together. You don't have to go to war with the GM.
Yeah. But there are ways to mitigate and or, you know, quash any attempts at metagaming and min-maxing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, first, you know, let's kind of go over metagaming. Because metagaming is something that even... People will do even if they're completely unaware that they're doing it.
They will do it unintentionally.
Yeah. Which...
It is the most innocent of sins at times.
Yeah. And sometimes it's the most grievous.
Yes.
Repent, sinners! Your doom is upon you. In the form of rocks.
They fall. And everyone dies.
Now... You'll see it a lot as a way
I'm
to...
still sick, by the way, shield bearers. I'm sorry.
Players rationalize it sometimes as, like, a way to save time. You know, like, if their character's asleep or, you know, out of the building when something else is said, their brain just kind of clicks that, oh, I've heard them say it, so my character knows.
I'm going to go talk to that guy about that thing. What guy? What thing? You weren't there.
Yeah. And that's one great way to kind of mitigate it is... As a DM, you have to remind the players, you don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get someone else in the party to tell it to you.
Mm-hmm. A simple, hey guys, what I miss, will suffice.
Exactly. Or, you know, is there any news or updates? Or try to get into your character.
Mm-hmm.
And if your party's nice, they'll tell you. Sometimes they might be a little bit fed up with your bullshit and be like, oh, you know, nothing happened.
Nothing important nothing that you need happened. To know. Needs to know basis. And you don't.
Yeah, and that kind of blocks off some paths and puts some walls in front of them until they actually get into the loop of things.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it can be a
or
little...
Or you get the player civil war going, but whatever.
Yeah, it can be a little bit frustrating sometimes to, you know, have to do that as a DM. Like, you don't have that information.
Mm-hmm.
You can't act on it.
Mm-hmm.
I found that...
Denied!
In my first Dark Heresy campaign I ran, The player who is playing, like, one of the Space Wolf adepts who is going into it, like, he knows so much about 40K.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know that, your character doesn't.
Well, depends on where he's at. Like, Space Wolf adept, like, well, like, Space Wolf Scout?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd know. Because the thing is, part of their training is, like, when they're...
Not scout level, but the training before they get into scout. So you have to do that initial, like, training and grueling process.
So not full of Astartes yet.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I wouldn't know.
So he was like, what I know, that's a virus bomb. And I'm like, what's
You would know that's a virus bomb. Wolfie McWolfface wouldn't.
Yeah.
He just, his teeth would start to itch and probably think, get away.
Odds are, even a scout probably wouldn't know what a virus bomb is.
Yes, he would.
Would he?
Yes, Jacob, because part of Space Marine indoctrination training, whatever, in addition to, like, well, because in 40K, they've got 10,000 years of history to catch up on. The Space Marines don't go to school for that. They just literally plug in and have it all, like, wibbly blabbly techno-mumble-jumbo planted into their brain, and they can just go back and be like, hey, so this is context is then applied retroactively. Oh, I know what this is because I've been sort of, it's been implanted, the knowledge has been implanted. They download the knowledge into the brains.
I feel like that doesn't happen until after they pass Scout because...
Scouts are still full Space Marines.
Okay.
As far as Space Wolves go.
Gotcha. Regardless, going back on topic.
It was going to bother me if I didn't tell you why you were wrong.
I know.
I don't get too often.
No.
I have to seize the moments when I can.
Does it hurt your little ego?
No, not really.
Regardless, you know, that's one thing I'd say is, and he was cognizant of the metagaming. He's like, would I know this? He would actually ask me, like, would I know this piece of lore as this? And I'm like, probably not.
Mm.
Which, if your players are forward, they a lot of times will try to stop themselves from metagaming. Because they know they'll have more fun if they're in character.
Right.
And it also kind of gives them an idea on how to plan for, you know, going forward.
Yeah.
And what questions they need to ask, what interactions they need to have.
Yeah.
So, if you fight metagaming, it can be pretty good for the story's, you know, continuity.
Right. Now, if they don't do that, if they just continuously try to metagame by using game knowledge that their character wouldn't have, if needs must, give warnings.
Yeah.
Say, I don't know.
That's metagaming.
Three strikes and you're out. If you need to be warned about metagaming thrice, go home. You're done for the night. Come back when you don't metagame anymore.
My rule set. So I have a set of rules as a DM that I give all new players, and you know they have to read it and say, you know.
Do you make them sign a contract to play games with you, Jacob?
No. I ever since the one incident where the player.
It's an abstract form of that guy.
Once I had that guy in my campaign who was trying to hit on like the girls at the session, I made a set of rules that if you break them, have various consequences.
Yeah.
One of the rules is you get two strikes because Russians don't play baseball.
I like that.
Orange is the new black. I think that that's where the quote's from.
I'll take your word for it.
I was like, well, you know, you get two strikes. Russians don't play baseball.
Yeah.
Which, I, it's one of those things too, like, metagaming, it's a tier level of how much they're trying to metagame.
Right.
Are they trying to metagame to completely undermine the party and everything else just for their own desire to win? Or are they metagaming just because it's something harmless that, you know, they weren't really fully cognizant of?
Right.
So, react to it based on that. Like, understand that a lot of times people are just, you know, they have a lot going on. They're trying to think of a lot of things, and they're like, oh, you know, I was there, I heard it, but my player character wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but at the same time, you know, if they're trying to metagame to try to figure out how to, you know, get the Lich on their side and, you know, join his team, you got to remind them that, you know, that's not their alignment. They're playing the Paladin. They can't do that.
Unless they want to fall from grace.
Exactly.
Does your Paladin want to fall from grace?
At the same
time, knock it off, Chuckles.
At the same time, if they want to have a fall from grace, there has to be something to initiate that fall from grace.
There's got
to
be a motive.
They can't wake up one day and be like,
I'm going to be a fucking shit heel today.
I've been a good noodle my entire life. I'm going to be a fucking shit show of a person.
Some people are like that. What's his name? The Arbites, who got addicted to Obscura. You don't end up in the Arbites. He was literally intergalactic police, and just wanted to decide, you know what? I'm gonna be a fucking hyper-violent junkie today, and every day since.
I mean,
some people have those drastic character shifts one morning, because they woke up on the super wrong side of the bed. It doesn't really work.
At the same time, you know, like, that's, even I consider that a little bit less metagaming, just for the sole reason, you know, he's an Arbite. He probably hunts down, like, druggies and drug sellers and stuff. And, you know, his character shift, it was relatively small. He's like, you know what, I'm going to try this. But
he woke up one day and said, you know what I'm going to try today? Meth.
You know,
you know what? Moving on.
Regardless, the major character shift was after he had the Obscura. The Obscura was, you know, what changed him. who is his nom.
Anyway, metagaming.
So, on top of that, what do you have any other points you'd like to mention about metagaming? Because I know you...
I mean, the rest of my talking points are about min-maxing, because metagaming is kind of one of those, like, we've hit it on the head, like,
okay.
apply the appropriate reaction based on circumstance. That's really the best you can do with metagaming. You know, if you need to, if it becomes a recurring issue, sit your players down before a session, don't do it afterwards, because everyone's going to be a little brain-fried from a session, but before a session, start to be like, hey guys, so we've had some issues with metagaming in the past, and let's try to do better about that, because it'll ultimately improve the story experience for everyone. Otherwise, I've got a fistful of rocks on the GM.
A fistful of rocks isn't that much.
I've got a ceiling full of rocks, and I am Captain Kangaroo.
So, yeah.
Bet the listeners weren't expecting a Captain Kangaroo reference this episode.
Yeah. I mean...
Ping pong balls!
More so, like, metagaming is just annoying. I don't see it as much of a hindrance that often.
Right.
But it's fucking annoying because it breaks immersion for me.
Right.
And at the end of the day, immersion is what I'm trying to kind of go for, because that's the most fun. You get into it.
Most fun for you. There is, but I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Metagaming, there's no version of metagaming where it's fun for everyone unless that's the explicit, like, hey, you know how metagaming is the thing that we don't do?
Yeah.
Let's have just this session, this campaign, whatever. Let's do a one-off where metagaming is the thing we do.
True.
Like, we're all Deadpool. Let's fucking do this.
We know everything that Wikipedia knows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Regardless. So, min-maxing. Min-maxing on
the meatier part of the topic, min-maxing.
On the Ten Commandments of RPG sins, min-maxing is probably at the top.
I put it at number three. No, number two. Number one is...
Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy. Sorry. Yeah, number three. Number one is don't be that guy. Number two is don't be that guy. And number three is don't min-max.
Number three should be asterisk. Don't talk about that guy.
And then fourth is don't min-max.
Yeah. And if you wonder why you need that many rules for don't be that guy.
It's because of that guy.
Listen to the That Guy podcast. That podcast.
Or just go and find that guy if you dare.
Oh, God, no.
For the masochists out there amongst you, go and play one session of any sort of tabletop role-playing game with that guy. If you're brave and ballsy, play it with a group of that guys.
And if you're having a hard time finding them, you know, if you go to college, there's usually a RPG group on campus.
There'll be at least one that guy. You'll be able to find him by the trench coat and fingerless gloves. I'm sorry, that was so mean.
Funny, because I like trench coats.
I do too, Jacob. I have one. I'm sorry, that was really mean.
Looking back, I wonder if that's why people...
I just alienated so much of our listeners. I didn't mean it. Listen, it's for your benefit. No one likes that guy, but if you can all you that guys can come together as a group of that guys, you all have a lot of fun, or you'll hate each other. One of the two things will happen.
It will either combine or explode.
Either way, Jacob, something interesting has happened.
A development has taken place. More at 6 p.m. Anyway, so the fourth sin of min-maxing.
That is min-maxing.
It is...
Breaking the game. Breaking the stats. Taking your character build and be like, I want to be the beatiest of all beat sticks that can just beat the shit out of anything it touches. That is wielded by something made of paper mache.
You usually see them in the forms of...
Rogues.
People who use snipers.
Mages. Sorry, there's no other way around of mages.
People who wear a lot of leather armor because it's made out of hide.
Fuck you.
You can often kind of tell who they are because they'll steal things a lot.
Rogues.
And they'll steal things from party members.
Rogues. Wow. Your min-maxers are your rogues and mages, pretty much. Because they're the ones who have the most capacity for raw damage output.
Yeah.
That can be delivered in such a way that they can do it very quickly.
Also monks.
Yeah. Point is that there are the classic hallmarks of min-maxing.
If you see them one-hit something that shouldn't be one-hittable...
And they didn't roll a number that starts with a 2 and ends with a 0?
It's
probably they're min-maxing.
Yeah. And now, I understand you want to do damage. It makes
you want to win.
Exactly. So, it starts off as something harmless. You know, I like to win. Now, it's okay to like to win because, you know, it will sometimes help the party. It just gets frustrating when the combat encounter you were planning that was going to be quite difficult has just been won in 3 minutes, and now you have to fill another 5 hours campaign.
And your GM's sitting there scratching his head, just, where did my life go so wrong?
Now, one great way you can fight min-maxers, and I do this every time we do a campaign when people are making their characters, I sit down with them and help them make their characters. Partly because, you know, a lot of people are just like, oh my god, there's so much fucking shit I have to fill in on this sheet.
Which it is.
It's like a federal tax form. I mean, I just have to sit there and keep writing, and it's been like 2 hours, and I have my name written on it.
Sure.
Regardless, also, it's the combat min-maxing.
Right, and I know you do this in a much more, like, you know, subtle and gentle way. You're like, yeah, maybe, you know, spread stats a little bit. But I just imagine you sitting over their shoulder looking down, watching them make the character. And as soon as one number gets a little bit tight, no, do it over. Try again.
Objection!
Objection! Anyway.
Sustained.
Make that two a one. That's better.
Yeah.
Make the second number of three.
Now, for Dark Heresy, I found I kind of have to do this, because I always have one friend who chooses a sniper character who's a rogue, who's usually a steampunk chick. It's his thing. Every campaign, it's always steampunk-looking girl. There's starting to be a pattern here.
Yes, you've just said this. Every single time, there's one.
Yeah.
That's what a pattern is, Jacob.
The scary thing is the D&D... He's always been an elf.
But steampunk elf?
No. That's the weird thing.
Huh.
It's scary. It's the first time I've seen him not do steampunk.
It's the exception that proves the pattern, I guess?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a statistician. Also, I don't know how this works.
Also, his character was a trap, so.
Anyway.
Well, anyways. So.
You gotta sit and be like, listen, no.
Yeah.
No. No. Try again. Now, that's a very hands-on approach. You can also just kind of sit down before characters are even made and set some clear rules and expectations with your players about min-maxing before they even start making their characters. Like, listen,
the objective.
You can have some stats that are, you know, a little bit higher than others, but if your stat balance is all sorts of wonky, fucked up, imbalanced, try again.
Yeah.
And if you do it a second time, I've got a fistful of dice that can determine your stats. Sure, we can. It'll probably end up min-maxing to some degree. It won't be in the way that you want.
Yeah. You know what's the funny thing?
What's that?
When my friend ran a campaign,
yeah.
His whole, like, he did the same character thing.
Yeah.
His whole thing was he wasn't allowing anyone to do anything super overpowered. And I was sitting there like,
how can
the situational irony of this. So what I did is I made a character that was min-maxed.
It's like, yeah. Now you see it from the other side.
Yeah. In the form of my...
That's you. You see this? See this min-max character? See this? Yeah. That's you!
It was his mistake to give me a 40mm grenade launcher.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was, Jacob.
I made that first combat encounter very quick.
Yep.
He's behind a counter.
Not for long.
And this is a high explosive grenade. What's the counter made out of? Wood.
Not for long.
More shrapnel.
What do you think's going through that baddie's mind right now?
Splinters. and the best part, too, like, I did it in such his fashion, just, like, complete opposite perspective. Just
kick open the door. I'm here, and I'm the main character. Fuck all you, 40mm grenade launcher.
He did, you know, that soft-spoken rogue who's a glass cannon. I did Mr. Australia.
Hey, Patrick.
Yeah. Who was impossible to kill and had a weapon that was more brute force than, you know, precision sniping.
Mm. I'm guessing, I can't remember correctly, did this character wear a kilt or something like that? Just to better just swing his dick around?
No, I mean, he honestly just wore work clothes because he came off like...
Because he was a professional.
He was a professional at everything. If he...
Including swinging his dick around, I'm sorry.
I was trying to go...
I mean, a 40mm grenade launcher is the weaponized equivalent of swinging your dick around, Jacob.
It's very true. Because literally,
has to go on a I don't think that can go on a shirt.
Because his character, you know, was always, like, sneaking around and going behind the scenes to do stuff. We get an objective at, like, the, you know, at the McDonald's, and my character pulls up to the McDonald's in his car and orders through the drive-thru.
You're parodying what he was doing. I see what you're doing. I see you.
It was all good. Right. It was fun. Yeah. Now, there are several ways to combat min-maxing besides laying the law down. Which, laying the law down...
It's heavy-handed.
It's heavy-handed.
It should only be used in circumstances that are appropriate for it.
It can also, I mean, like, when you finally have to, it can kind of be cathartic. Just being like, no.
You're going to play the diplomat.
Yeah.
Min-max that fucker.
Regardless, I like doing other things. So, for example, min-maxers tend to be glass cannons.
Yes.
They might have certain resistances that they've tried to plan for. So, for example, you know, if they're fighting a lot of, like, orcs or something, they might be pretty good at, like, trying to stem blood loss or, you know, something like that. Or if they're fighting, like, magic creatures, they'll take a lot of resistances against magic.
Right.
So what do? You throw the opposite at them. Yes. They thought they'd be doing this because you said, oh, the campaign, you know, you're going after a lich. Well, you're not really fighting a lot of liches. You're actually fighting rock monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you didn't take crushing damage resistance? Ooh.
Boy, don't you look foolish.
Now, I remember...
I thought I was going to be fighting a lot of magical creatures. You should have thought something else.
I remember we've talked about this, you know, don't kill your player characters, but if...
But if they really deserve it.
But, you know, if they're a min-maxing kind of piece of shit right now, it might feel kind of good. You know, it's I'm the little devil.
Still not
on
asking
shoulder.
For it, Jacob. Still not asking for it.
It's.
But sometimes they kind of actually are.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't put it past a min-max. You'd be like, what are you going to do? Kill me?
Yes. Actually, that's a wonderful idea.
Because, like, the thing with min-maxers that what I understand is that they are just so sure that they've got an answer for damn near everything. But they actually don't.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even have to come in the form of this quintessential rocks falling on them. Unless it's a rock monster, but that's a, it's a whole other different case.
If you're lucky, sometimes your player group will kill him for you. When you sit back and you're like, yes, my minlings, my minions, my minglings do my dirty deeds for me. But don't encourage PC on PC violence.
It doesn't need any help.
Yeah. No joke.
They'll do it to themselves.
I swear, like, sometimes once a session, people are like, I'm gonna fucking kill you. Okay, guys, let's take a step
back. I'll see
back.
You now. You tell him who sent you!
I'll drag you down there with me. Now, see, as a GM, I've never been a big fan of just blocking off avenues for people to take.
It's a roundabout form of railroading.
Yeah,
and
I was
no
just
one likes railroading.
That, yeah.
Except for conductors.
So, one thing, you know, if I know, like, my friend's going to min-max, I'll take a couple steps to mitigate it. And, you know, I'll also encourage him, you know, you've played this character for last... forever. You're in the guard now, son. And, guess what? You get a guardsman.
Golden Emp does the best he can.
Oh, can I get a sniper? It's what?
A what?
You get a las gun. Does it have sights on it? Iron sights.
Well, like a scope? What's that?
You're like,
guard, son.
Exactly. That's actually been...
You're lucky you even get a rifle. Some regiments, as a matter of one man gets the rifle, the other man gets the las back.
And when the man with the lasgun dies,
then Lazpak picks up the rifle and dies.
Continues forward.
No, he dies. And then the guy behind those two picks up the rifle and keeps fighting.
And the Lazpak.
Yes, because in the time it took the guy with the Lazpak to pick up the last rifle, he has died. Such is life in the Imperial Guard.
Such is life in the Imperial Guard. Regardless, that, I honestly, I think this is going to do wonders for his character growth, because he's going to play something else.
Dragged him kicking and screaming outside of his comfort zone.
Yeah.
And brutally murdered him over and over.
That,
thereby kind of giving him justification for wanting to go back to the comfort zone, Jacob.
Yeah, I just...
He didn't die there!
I just realized that.
I like the comfort zone. I survived there.
I should give him a sniper character and then have him brutally die. You're the squad's marksman.
Just, like, straight up, like, yeah, here's your stats, you know, whatever, and just show him, like, it's, like, it's do your best to make his, like, min-max sniper character. Like, yep, here's your comfort zone, bud.
And then
artillery shell.
That I was just going to say that. And not even enemy.
Why? Because your scope glinted.
And not even enemy artillery.
Short round.
Short round.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Take your players outside their comfort zone, and they'll find it a little bit harder to min-max, because they don't know how to min-max outside their comfort zone, because it's not their comfort zone.
Yeah. It's...
Again, though, try to avoid railroading, because no one likes railroading in any sort of situation where there's character... Unless you're trying to tell a specific story, and you have a set cast of characters that you want to participate in the story, and you just want each player to be assigned and play that character as best they can, sure, but, like, that works asterisk.
Even my Imperial Guard, like, they still have a lot of options with what they can do.
Right.
It's... They... The character... might be a copy template.
Right.
But you get freedom with what you can do.
Right.
Now,
the freedom that I hear over there.
Yeah, exactly. Which little, you know...
You didn't stipulate what kind of freedom you wanted. You get what you get. Jacob's that kind of genie.
You're not wrong.
I'm not, Jacob. I'm not.
Regardless, you know, also, I mean, really do sit down and just discuss with your player the min-max, the problem with min-maxing, because at the end of the day, it might make his experience more enjoyable because he's winning everything.
Right.
But at the same time...
It's not just about his fun, his or her fun. It's about group fun.
Not to mention, a lot of the time you see with the min-maxers, the rest of the party has to end up saving them because they min-maxed, they're really good at damage.
But then they've gotten stuck in a very hot fire.
Yeah. Now, there are other...
Sometimes literally.
There are other types of min-maxers that can be relatively okay. If you have the min-maxer who's min-maxing...
No one's going to complain about a min-maxing healer.
Yeah, or a min-maxing tank.
Right, like, your job is for, like, you've been min-maxed to the point where you can just soak up damage like a sponge and be totally fine. No one's going to complain about that if your return fires a spitball.
Yeah.
No one's going to complain about the min-maxed healer who can all but raise them from the dead without using necromancy. Now, we've already defended necromancy, but, you know.
Yeah.
Not everyone might agree with us.
Now, one of the other min-maxers I can see, and I've played it, and it can be kind of hated, is... It was Voss, the political game min-maxer.
Right.
Where I got...
I guess in the way of people stabbing things.
Yeah. And also, the GM's like, I planned this encounter, but you talked your way out of it.
You were supposed to punch your way out of it. You fool. You brilliant, charismatic fool.
Which, I mean, at the same
time... punching things kill you... Oh, wait, it actually might.
At the same time... You can't always talk your way out of everything, and your GM can still be like, you gotta fight.
Mm.
And that's where I bravely ran away.
And that's why you had a pocket full of sand and a hand crossbow. So that you could momentarily stun the foe you were running away from and made sure that you weren't the slowest running away from them.
Nearly drowns person. That first session where I
nearly
pocket sanded him.
And nearly drowned him, yep.
Yeah.
You nearly committed manslaughter.
Regardless, there's different types.
I mean, I guess that's a step up from the usual homicide you commit, but...
Yeah. I mean, there's different steps of min-maxing, and when it starts getting closer to you're more and more winning every encounter for the group, it gets less and less fun.
Right.
So talk to your player and be like, okay, you know, you I will let you min-max to a degree. Like, you can still be the rogue sniper character. You can still be that person who does a lot of damage.
But bring those max numbers down by, like, 10, please.
Yeah. Or also, you know, you got to have some weaknesses, character flaws, things like that.
Right.
Don't make them a two-dimensional copy of the last character you've played.
Right.
So, you know, if your character's a min-maxing rogue, you know, who has tragic crawling in my crawl edgy backstory,
mm-hmm.
you know, make your character very nice person, but flawed because of his tragic backstory. He's overly nice.
Mm-hmm.
He still likes killing because sniping's a good job, mate.
I just love killing.
Exactly. But,
oh boy.
Yeah. So discuss with them and, you know, just show them, like, see, when you're doing all the damage, nobody else gets to do anything in the encounter.
Right.
You point at something and it dies.
You sneeze in the wrong direction and a party member dies. Yeah.
And explain, you know, if you're welcome to do this, but I will throw more enemies than you can shoot.
Right. Now that gets into the other thing.
Yeah.
Of combating min-maxing.
Because
if they're pumping out raw damage, if they're min-maxing based on the notion that their combat encounters will involve hit points.
Yeah.
Well,
you can add the hit system into it.
Segways!
Exactly. So the hit system basically works as damage doesn't equate to killing things.
I knew this would be a recurring topic.
It would. You know, to kill something, you have to have a certain amount of players hit it, or you have to do a certain amount of hits to it. So, say you're fighting a goblin. In a traditional system, it might have, like, 6 hit points.
Right.
In this system, it has 2 hits. You have to hit it twice to kill it. With some exceptions.
The counterbalance is, there's 20 of them.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Or, you know, they might have 1 hit, but, you know, you're rolling all this stuff to do exponential amounts of damage to that one goblin.
Cool, you killed him.
You killed
the shit out of him. But only him.
Yeah.
Now there's 19 more.
Nope.
Do it 19 more times, but you also wait your turn because the rest of the party gets to go now.
Yeah. And you know, if they're min-maxing that epic, like, amount of damage, make them incredibly easy to hit. You can be that amazing sniper, but you failed camouflage training.
Yep. See, you guys are dumb. They're going to be looking for army guys. He's wearing a clown outfit.
Mike,
make that be the stipulation. You want to be the super, super, super mega sniper? Cool. I will allow this on the condition that you are a carnival clown. You dress like a carnival clown. You are bright and easy to spot.
I will give you that ghillie suit. It's a shame we're on a desert planet. You're the only tree for miles.
Yeah, I'll give you that ghillie suit. Too bad it's for Arctic tundra and we're in the plains.
Oh, you have an urban camo ghillie suit?
Sucks.
Sucks.
You're on a boat. Ghillie suit ain't gonna do you no good.
I mean, actually, urban camo might work depending on the boat. I guess, like,
how much shrubbery do you see on the decks of a ship?
Urban camo is different than normal camo. It's like, it looks like you could blend into, like, rubble or, like...
How much rubble do you see on the decks of a ship, Jacob, if it's not in the middle of an engagement? If the answer is any, someone's getting chewed out. Just saying. There are a plethora of veteran listeners, Jacob, that will fight you on this. And they will win because they're veterans.
Now, if you're talking,
don't even argue that.
if you're talking about a ship in, like, the naval sense, I'll give it to you. But if you're talking about a ship in the sci-fi sense,
I feel like either way the answer should be zero. I'm just saying, but we're getting hung up on this. Point is,
I love how we do this. We get hung up on, like, a very side, like, mention of something.
Yeah, anyway.
As we get hung up on...
Anyway, point is, you're wrong. min-maxing, right.
So, ways to combat it. The hit system is great because they think they're doing so much damage.
And they are.
And they are.
To one guy.
To one guy.
In a sea of them.
Yeah.
Cool. You turn that guy into mulch. But just him.
Yeah. And also, I think we mentioned this on the last campaign in the set. I mean, not campaign, last podcast on setting tone. You can also do it the way I've been doing it in my Dark Heresy or Only War campaign, where they think they're doing damage, but it really does not factor in. It's the amount of times they hit something.
Right, but let them think they're doing that so everyone's happy. They get to keep thinking they're min-maxing when they really aren't.
Why didn't my 89 damage kill that orc? Because he thought he wouldn't die. It's just a puny human.
Right.
So, you can do things like that. I mean,
there's ways to mitigate it and keep everyone happy, rather than just like, you can't min-max crossing off, folding my arms and crossing off the plot until you stop min-maxing. You're like, all right, keep min-maxing. We're just going to go ahead and use the hit system instead of hit points. You can keep doing all the damage you want.
Yeah.
Turn each individual foe to a fine red paste suitable for spreading on toast and or crackers, but only one at a time.
Actually, funny enough, like in that first Dark...
I thought that was pretty funny.
In that first Dark Heresy campaign, that's what I started doing. I just started throwing more enemies.
Because,
like, yeah, sure, he killed the shit out of, like, the first two guys.
There'd be, like, lots of friends.
There'd be, like, eight more.
More friends than you, Mr. Min-Max. I'm sorry, that was mean. Why am I so mean tonight, Jacob? Is it the Dayquil? I
think it's the Dayquil. Because you're pretty sick, brah.
Getting there.
Funny.
Getting there.
Am I frustrating you a little bit yet?
No. I'm in, like, the full swing of appropriate amount of Dayquil, and I'm feeling fucking great. And I will be for, like, another... probably rest of this podcast. It's just gonna be death.
Oh, God.
We still got one more to go, listeners, so I'm sorry.
I'll keep it upbeat. Regardless, back on topic. Now... If you've tried explaining everything to your min-maxer, you've tried mitigating it, and they're still finding bullshit ways to continue, and
they're just being obtuse for the sake of being obtuse, like, but this one goes to 11. Like, yes, but it doesn't have to, when you can just make this, like, but it goes to 11. It's like,
Now, interestingly enough, part of the reason... min-maxing is one of the mortal sins of RPGs in general, is also because it kind of, a lot of the time, your min-maxer starts turning into a rules lawyer.
Right.
And we had a podcast on this, you know,
yes.
Spirit versus rule lawyering.
Right. Now,
once you start arguing with the GM, that's when things start to die and it's not the GM or the enemies.
Right. So I'm actually glad you brought this up. Because this gets around about tangentially speaking. I recently came across a site called The Geek Pantheon. And I was reading a blog post by one of the guys on there. Can't remember his name for the life of me because I'm... Because Dayquil, I'm sorry. but he's talking about the notion of what the player... One of the players in the player group reminding a DM of a rule they may have overlooked. And the other people in the party saying, hey, same team. It's like, we're all on the same team. Because there's the rules lawyer can go in a different direction. Rather than arguing rules, reminding a DM... of a rule that they may have overlooked that is relevant to what's going on.
Yeah.
For the sake of, yes, just because the DM has overlooked it doesn't mean it should continue to be overlooked if it would add to what's going on in a way that would flesh things out more.
Now, the stipulation here is that it adds to the group, not to the min-maxer.
Right. It was a bit of a tangent. I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, for sure. And... I do enjoy having players who know the rules, because I'm ADHD as fuck. I forget.
You don't say.
I forget things.
You don't say.
So when people are like, well, you forgot about this, I'm like, oh, thank God for reminding me. Like, yeah, I need to do that. Alrighty, everyone take poison damage.
Ow, why'd I do that? Why'd I do that to myself? Ugh.
Yeah.
The answer is because so that something interesting would happen.
Exactly. And interesting is always fun.
Yeah.
Well, it can be fun.
I think interesting is fun. That's why I think I'm pretty fun. I think I'm interesting. I'm not, but I think I am.
Other ways you can kind of also build flaws into min-maxers.
Right.
So, for example, if they are that rogue and they can, you know, hit the blind side of a barn with their crossbow, your crossbow isn't that accurate. You can build flaws into their weapons. If they have right. that sniper, you have a chance that, you know, you've made so many modifications to your sniper that it jams.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
Because there's a lot of different ways a firearm can malfunction. Not all of them are as simple as clearing a jam.
Plasma guns.
I'm talking about conventional firearms, true. Sir. There's a lot of ways those can go haywire that people really might not expect. That can kill the shit out of you.
Yeah, be careful what you load into your guns. Mm-hmm. You watched Resident Evil and wanted to load quarters into your shotgun? Fun fact, they don't fit. Boom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you can also, you know, if you're having a min-maxer and, you know, it's starting to take away from the party, go with the more spirit of the rules route.
Sure.
You know, you can add or take away things to increase player experience.
Yes.
Which, you know, I enjoy doing. So, like, if I had that big of a problem with someone who's read the rules and studied them like a lawyer at Harvard.
Right.
Studying for the bar.
Mm.
I'm going to start adding little things here and there that, you know, kind of throw them for a loop.
Sure.
You can also do what I did in the newest Dark Heresy campaign I did, is the only rules they got were the Imperial Guardsman's uplifting primer.
Mm-hmm. Metagame that. Or sorry, min-max that. Actually, both. Both. Both's good.
Both, yeah. Well, if you min-max that, it's probably going to get you killed more easily. I don't think
then
that...
Then they're really getting into the spirit of things, Jason.
Yeah. So, you know, and... That can be kind of a little bit of a troubled area because some people can't convey the rules very well. So if you're not able to, like, make it easy enough that the players can understand it without the rules, probably don't do that because you're going to be sitting there explaining more than playing.
Right. Which at the end of the day, you should be trying to avoid at all costs.
Yeah. Nobody
want to play an advanced plot.
Much like monologue, nobody loves rule explaining.
Bingo. Keep it short and sweet.
Yeah.
And make sure that your evil doomsday plan is already in motion before you start either of them.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time you're done explaining to them how that particular rule works, they already understand that there's nothing they can do about it. They're already fucked.
Yeah. Now, like I said with the different types of min-maxers, sometimes min-maxers can be good, especially if your party really needs the carry. Sometimes.
And the thing is, like, if the min-maxers, like, yes, I'm gonna min-max and I'm just gonna be the intervention force, like, I'm just gonna hang out and tag along with the party and I'll, you know, help here and there, but I'm not gonna bust out the big guns unless, like, all the chips, all the cards are down, as well as all of the party.
Yeah, you know, you can play that.
I'm not gonna flex too hard until the party needs an ex-machina, all right?
For example, you know, you play that character who, yeah, he's the paladin. He can kill shit deader than anything, but he enjoys more watching and trying to see the other people folly around before he's like, okay, it's time to intervene. Dial power
level. He likes
level
watching.
Up.
He likes watching and giving constructive criticism mid battle. Like, this isn't very helpful. Like, well, that's why I'm trying to change that. You're doing it improperly. If you want to gouge your eyes out, this is how you do it. I'm telling you. Trust me, I've got the experience. And then once everyone's down, he's like, all right, flex. And everything's dead. And because he's a paladin, he can lay hands, and everyone's alive. Everyone who should be alive is alive.
This is just reminding me of that Plague Marine dueling the one...
Right, but like,
yeah.
He's encouraging his friends exactly. rather than taunting the enemy. Like, he's kind of hanging in the back, whatever. Well, you know, going through the party, laying hands, trying to keep them going while he's giving them pointers. In fact, that could be his pointers. He's adjusting their form. That's his form of lay hands. Adjusting your form, like, no, you gotta spread, you know, spread your stance a bit more, lower your stance, you lower your center of gravity. That's his lay hands. He's like, I feel better. I'm gonna kill the shit. It's like, and you all down anyway. All right, flex, flex, flex.
See, if you're gonna do that, you gotta play it like the anime character where he's like, he's fighting, and then he's about to be beat, and he's like, this was only the first stage of my power level.
Yes.
That's edgy. Please don't.
Do you, listeners? Unless you're that guy or min-maxing. Unless you're min-maxing that particular way.
Yeah.
Because you can min-max for good, as we just said.
Yeah, like the healer, nobody cares if the
healer... No one's gonna fucking blink at a min-maxing healer.
Like...
Min-maxing, cool, we're gonna... You've come prepared, sir.
Like...
You know who you're dealing with.
Like, the Sister Adept in the first Dark Heresy campaign, when she had to min-max healing, I was perfectly fine with throwing her a little more XP under the table to keep the party from killing themselves.
A min-maxing healer knows that the party is their own worst enemy, their own biggest danger.
Yeah.
Min-maxing healers are fine. They are. No one's gonna... If a GM is mad that a min-maxing healer has showed up, it's because the min-maxing healer has just foiled their evil plot to kill everyone.
Yeah.
It's like, damn it, you came prepared. The one thing I wasn't accounting for, a well-prepared player.
The one thing I draw a line on, though, with min-maxing healer is resurrection.
Right.
I'm not a fan of resurrection.
Nope.
We'll go over this in another podcast. It's going to be coming out soon.
Yeah.
We're recording it next.
Yeah. Pull that curtain way back, huh, bud?
Yeah.
Metagaming a little bit? Shame on you. But anyway. I think that's about all we got.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you once again for listening to another episode of General Nerdsense, and wherever you're listening to us, too, be it iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, wherever, don't forget to subscribe if you are not subscribed already, and if you have any future suggestions for topics for General Nerdsense, Lore Council, or Loose Sprues, head on over to our Facebook page, Shieldwall Productions, at Facebook.com.
Or hit us up on Twitter at the official SWP, whether or not you want to bring me ways that you've seen people metagame or min-max.
Or mitigate metagaming and min-maxing.
Yeah.
I did it again.
Or, you know, just want to shoot the shit and talk. I'm more than happy to do that as well.
Indeed, and if you're not already aware, somehow, we've got merch!
Ooh!
teespring.com/doors/shield-wall-productions. We've got shirts, both men's and women's, tank tops, both men's and women's, couple of stickers, couple of phone cases, iPhones and Samsungs, and a hoodie to keep you warm, coffee mug, and a
Hey Patrick!
T-shirt that will be, that is the first in a eventually running line of podcast reference t-shirts. But anyway... We'll catch you later, Shield Bears.
Doodles!